Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We got people from Minnesota, Virginia, Indiana, Michigan, Indianapolis come here today. Isn't that amazing? Traveling. Yeah. To hear Jason Upton. And Jason Upton is with us today, and he's going to lead us in worship, and he's going to minister to us through the Word of God. And we are grateful he's here. We're grateful all of you are here, and we're thankful that you all have tuned in. So let's welcome Jason. All right, come on in.
And like a river, you keep on going from source to see the same. Like a you keep on blowing. Oh, your love will not be tamed. It fans my heart into a flame. This fire is gonna last. Great being here. I want to love you like you love me, willing and humble. All the ways in which you first loved us, Lord, in every way we can. When you're awake, we want to be awake. And we want to be awake to what you're awake to. Right? Thanks be to God. Samuel writes, just listen to this for a second. Chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Now when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies," meaning he'd been a battler, a warrior, and then he was feeling a bit of respite, "the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I actually live in a house of cedar, but the ark of God, my God, is dwelling in a tent.' And Nathan said to the king, 'Well, you go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord's with you.' But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. And the Lord said to Nathan, 'I want you to go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you're going to build a house for me to dwell in. I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. I've been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I've moved with all the people of Israel, Did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. I mean, essentially, he's saying, I do things that are way outside the thinking, the mindset, the understanding of man, right? I do it the opposite way. I took a shepherd of sheep, and I made him the prince over my people of Israel. And I've been with you wherever you went, and I've cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name like the name of the great ones of the earth, and I will appoint a place for my people, Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from you before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever in accordance with all these words and in accordance with this vision Nathan spoke to David. Man, that is good stuff. I'm gonna make, in the words of the poet Hopkins, you want to make me a flesh and bone house. I mean, you want to make me a cedar house. I'm gonna make a flesh and bone house. I'm gonna make a house in you. I'm gonna make a forever house. I'm gonna make a house that is gonna not only last forever, but it's not gonna be so easy. It's not gonna be so easy to find the holy. I'm gonna make a flesh and bone house. I'm gonna make a forever house. I'm going to establish my presence. What I love most about this is this sort of way of thinking that God's like, I'm actually good with my movable house. I don't need you to make me a cedar house. Don't feel bad for me. There's a lot of mobility with this tent I dwell in. In fact, I want to make it even more mobile. I'm gonna come and. That's amazing. Is that like a phone? Sheepers. I was like, it's either a phone or a kid. I'm gonna make a flesh and bone house. I'm gonna make a house. I'm gonna dwell inside you. I'm gonna dwell in you. I'm gonna make my house in you. I'm gonna dwell in you, Jason. I'm gonna dwell in your children, in your children's children. This is what he's saying, David. I'm gonna dwell in your son. And oh, by the way, I'm going to dwell in this lineage. And this lineage is not, it's quite interesting, guys. It's like Jacob has to be deceived into taking Leah. But interestingly, in the scripture, Leah is the line of Jesus, not Rachel, right? This is an ongoing theme throughout scripture, is we always think we know where God's going to dwell, right? We see things and we think, oh, this is the fair one. That's where God dwells. God must be where light is. That's the teaching of enlightenment theory, which the church took on. And there's probably some good there, but we got to throw out this idea that God only dwells where there's light. There are elements of that in scripture, but there's a whole lot other elements of when God wants to speak to humanity, he comes to dark caves, to dark of night, to the midst of dreams. And we don't really learn how to trust God if we can always see where we're going. Faith, like I said last night, Wendell Berry, the Kentucky-born, I believe prophet of our time in many ways, he would probably say that's ridiculous. But, he speaks out at 90s and says, hey, when I read the Gospels and I see the words of Jesus, I cannot say that I'm altogether confident in the way of Jesus. But I know I have a lot of faith that it's the way. But when I follow Jesus, I'm not all that confident in it. But please don't misinterpret my lack of confidence for a lack of faith. Right? Please don't misinterpret my tent dwelling for being a dwelling I don't want to dwell in. It's almost as though God's saying back, hey, David, I actually quite like it. Have I ever asked any of my people to make me a house of cedar? I like my tent. And I'm actually going to go a step further. I'm going to make a flesh and bone house. I'm going to make a house inside of you. I'm going to make a home inside of you. I'm going to make my home even inside of, well, some infidelity there, right? You look at that line of Jesus, it's not a pure line. It's not like, woo, that's a sinless line. I mean, there's some stuff in Jesus' background, right? You do a background check on Jesus' lineage, it's like, wow, this is how you're going to save the world through that line. We think God's going to save the world through the one that looks the best. God says, no, I'm going to save the world. It's going to blow your mind what I'm going to save the world through. And mostly, that ick of your life, I might just save the world through. That thing about you that you're embarrassed about, that I might save the world through that. I was listening to a podcast with Rick Rubin and another producer, T-Bone Burnett. And they got on this podcast that the podcast leader had given over to him to them to take over his podcast for the day. So it was these two producers, and they're on talking to each other. And T-Bone Burnett asks Rick Rubin, so who's the most difficult person to produce? And he said, well, that's easy, the successful artist. And T-Bone Burnett said, yeah, but Rick, I kind of like successful artists because they usually have a bit of talent. And Rick Rubin said, oh, yeah, but like with Johnny Cash, when I found Johnny, he was sort of like, he was sick. His body was feeble. He had no career left. But I saw something beautiful in him. And he says, I bring him into my studio, and I'd say, Johnny, sing me a song. And Johnny Cash, he had a lot of slur to his mouth at that time because of the medicines he was on and the sickness in his body, and he was embarrassed by it. And Rick Rubin says, but Johnny, sing me a song. And Johnny would start singing like an old gospel song or something like that. And he said, whatever song he was singing, it was so real to me when I was listening to him. And I'd hear him, he's on the couch just singing a song. And so I'd start to set up the microphones around him. And all of a sudden, I'd get the microphones all set up around him, and then I'd be just about, I press record. And here we are, we're going to record him now singing. I want him to sound just like he sounds. And he'd always go, and then he'd get ready, and he'd start to sing. And Rick said, and all of a sudden, Johnny wasn't singing the way that he was just singing a few moments ago. Johnny was trying to hide all that beauty, because he thought it was all icky. And he said, and so I said that nobody would want to hear that. And he said, Johnny, why are you changing? Why are you changing your sound, your tone? Why are you trying to hide? Well, no, nobody wants to hear that. No, I want to hear it. That's why I mic'd everything up. That sounds beautiful to me. That's what people need to hear. Now I want to hide all that, He said, this is what I started to learn, that the crowd, see, and this is something we need to learn in church. the crowd, it can produce in an artist really poor habits. And those poor habits are that you what they like is what you have to maintain, what you have to sustain, what you have to keep being. And so for Johnny, he was always trying to get back on that stage of his former self instead of just being, you know. And everybody knows now that it's history. This is one of the American records of Johnny Cash is one of the biggest records that Johnny Cash ever put out. It blew away in numbers the you know, all the songs of his popularity days. But he thought he had to keep staying in the popularity days. And he said, so what happens is the successful artist can be the most difficult artist to produce because I find that the crowd has produced in that artist really poor habits. And the worst habit is that they have to stay the same. They can't keep growing. They can't keep growing. And that growth might actually be downward. It might be, oh, so when you hear, I hurt myself today, to see if I still feel, you listen to that, I focus on the pain. That now no longer is the guy that wrote that song. He even says it. That's Johnny Cash's song because it had to have that kind of brokenness, right? So when you listen to it, it's real to you, to each of us that hear him sing that song. And so those the way in which we think, this is where God's going to show up. And we're embarrassed about where God says, I want to make my dwelling. I want to make my home in this place. I've titled this message, Finding Our Way Home on the Road to Nowhere. So let's take a moment where music happens. This is also interesting. Have you ever noticed that great art often it happens in upper rooms? You know, that's as far back as the axe, right? You know, it happens in back rooms. You ever notice this? A lot of great art happens in back rooms. My wife just told me about some comedy thing you can go to in Chicago, and it's in some guy's house in the basement. I said, that sounds like a good way to get killed, right? She said, well, we got to go try it. It's like these no-name people, and they show up in this guy's house. I said, yeah. Yeah, you're crazy. Upper rooms, back rooms, basements. You know how much music and creativity has come out of basements? Garages. Remember, been to Dublin many, many times. I love to go into those little pubs in Dublin because not because they have the best musicians all the time or whatever. What's so fun is to watch them assemble. And how they assemble is just different musicians, you know? That you got like some player in the symphony will just show up with their fiddle and just show up and sit in the corner and just play. Small pubs in Dublin. Back porches. My friend Ricky Skaggs, how'd you learn how to play so well? Oh, back porch, Jay. Back porch. That's how I learned how to play. Back porch, that's where the real music happened because nobody was afraid to make mistakes. So you ended up finding your way somewhere because you didn't have to get somewhere. You want to find your way home? You, and some level, you've got to have enough play in your life where you're willing to go nowhere. It's what Brené Brown talked about when she found out she was doing research on all the greatest violent offenders in the world and in the prison systems. And he said that she started finding out in her research that they all had one thing in common. None of them had play in their childhood. And so she said, well, I immediately decided to bring out all the games in our house. We started playing board games with the kids till we thought, you know, my husband and I thought we were going to become violent offenders. So we were playing so many board games and they didn't like board games. And so they're playing all these board games with their children and they're not getting anywhere. But she's just trying to get play in her children's lives so they don't become violent offenders. And then one day they were playing outside and she was trying to get them in to the house for dinner, and she said, y'all stop wasting time and get in here. And all of a sudden, it just took her on this whole tangent in her research, and she started researching, and she found that play is, it's not playing a board game or playing a game. Play is when you preach, when you do music, when you go to have coffee with a friend, and you don't have an agenda for that moment. It doesn't have to, you're willing to play in the space of time and just allow yourself to find yourself going somewhere with no agenda of where it is that you're going. Play, that's the active gift of playing. And we need more of it in church, and we need more of it in the music scene. We need more of it in our lives. But it's interesting. You can make a $19 million facility, and there's no guarantee that great things will happen in it. I think that's so funny. How you want to make me a house of cedar? I'm pretty good with my little tent. You want to make a $20 million facility for music, but I'll show up in the basements. There's 15, $30 million facilities in Chicago, but we're all going to go risk our lives to go to some guy's basement for a comedy thing? I don't even know these people. Jeepers, I'm an artist. I'm not like The Rock. Yeah. But see, why do I say that? Because space is very important to God. When God wanted to create and make something, he created space, formless, void. God loves to make space. But what we do often is we try to fill up the space because we're scared of space, because we've been told the big lie that the more people that are there, the better the moment. God says, or the more filled up the space, the better. But when God wanted to create, if we only understood that when there's space being made in our lives, the Holy Spirit intends to hover over that space and make something new. Oh, if we could receive that way. Oh, you're about ready to do some, lower me down. I remember years ago, I started writing that song, and I was on the plane with a buddy of mine, great guitar player, plays with a lot of different people, but his name is Benjamin Forehand, great friend, and quite a comical guy. And he said, I wrote that song, we were on our way to Dublin, I wrote this song, Lower Me Down, that I just did today. And I sang it, and I never had lost my bags before. First week I wrote that song, I lost all my bags. We're sitting outside the baggage claim, and my bags are lost. We don't even know where they are. They're somewhere in Europe. And I said, wow. He said, shouldn't have written that song, bro. But I just say, God loves space. God loves to create in the space. There's got to be space enough to not have to know where we're going. Space enough to play. Even within church, I know it's difficult because we got a lot of time and we got all this stuff, but there's got to be space. There's got to be a moment. It doesn't have to be all the time. People don't have to be like me. That's not, you know, necessarily, you know, I remember years ago, we were all sitting around a table giving dreams of what we wanted to be. I'm really good friends with the air traffic control, head of air traffic control at Milwaukee. So we're all around this table, and I had found out that my biological grandfather was a pilot. So I had this idea that I really wanted to be a pilot. This was years ago. It was a moment of weakness. And so here we all, and we're all sharing our dreams of the future. And I just, and everybody blurts out theirs, and I'm so excited about everybody's dreams. And so they said, what's your dream, Jay? And I said, I think I want to get my pilot's license. Well, it was just dead silence. And then all of a sudden, the whole table erupted into laughter. And I was like, you guys, you terrible shapers. But I get it. Because you don't want, I'm not really the guy that you want being a pilot. I'd be like, yeah, we're up here. And, you know, I get it. There are some things in this world where You need to get from point A to point B, and dualism is quite a gift. You know, it's just you're left or right. Right? You want that, but there are some things in this world you can't get that way. And it's just, you just have to face that. Linear isn't the answer to everything. My daughters always say, we always love riding with Dad because he always goes the beautiful way. Rachel always goes the fastest way, right? And that gives some adventure too, because she'll go straight through, you know, the most dangerous part of the town just because it's the fastest way. They were driving through town a few months ago and they saw a full-on ski mask robbery of a convenience store, and the people came running outside right in front of the car. I said, that's because you're riding with Mom. You'd never see that if you rode with me, because I always want to, we'll go all the way around, we go up the lake, and we see all the beauty. It takes us forever to get home, but we have a wonderful time, because I'm an artist. I just want to take it all in. We don't have to always get, you know. But linear's great, but sometimes you don't see the beauty when you just go that way. You got to have enough sermons where you don't know where you're going, preachers. You, if you really want to teach your children how to live, you can't always have the answer. I'll never forget one of the greatest teachers I ever had in parenting. They said, whatever you do when your kid comes to you with a difficult question, don't give them the answer. The best thing you can do is say, well, you're really smart. Why don't you think about that for a while? You tell me first what you think. And that's one of the greatest gifts. I still use it to this day. It's also a great gift for if you want to, like, if you don't really know and you want to look it up, and you know what I mean? But no, I'm just kidding. But listen, space is a part. It's like, can we make enough space? Well, if you make space, what that means is you're probably going to fall down. You're probably going to not make it. You're probably going to have some sermons that just don't land. You're probably going to be misunderstood. But you're also, right, or whatever that is for you in your life, if you create space in your life, it feels a little dangerous. But the reality is, if you really look at it, I always have these artists that say to me, they say, you know, I'll be given like a retreat on songwriting or artistry and whatever. And the big thing is, how do I become famous? And they think that the way they become, and it's always in there, you know? So at the end of the whole thing, you pour in your heart out. And then at the end of the day, they just want to know how to become famous or whatever. It's so lame. I'm like, oh God. So. Because the reality is nobody knows that. If everybody knew that, well, we'd all be like, okay, this is the next famous song. It's like, there are a very small percentage of people that can just keep turning out famous, right? The majority of artists, they don't really know what's going to become of their art, right? And so but what I always say is, you have actually, my experience shows that you have less of a chance homogenizing yourself and being like everything else. If you're not heard at all, your chances of being heard by sounding like everything else is so much less than if you just be what God created you to be.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.